that this qualifies as a full Chubb date, a full Nick Chubb update, but I think this is the continuing in the line of kind of a succession of Chubb dates that we've gotten on Nick Chubb's future in Cleveland for Mary Kate Cabot, the Morning Boys, earlier today.
At the moment, it has, yes, because if Jerome had not taken the pay cut or if maybe the Browns had traded him, it would have opened the door for Nick Chubb to come back. But Jerome taking the pay cut means that he will, for all intents and purposes, be around. And the Browns do not want to have Nick here as their fourth running back where, you know, he just wouldn't be getting the reps. So unfortunately for him and for Browns fans at the moment, that's really not in the cards to bring him back.
I think I'm going to spin it this way. Mm-hmm. As long as Nick Chubb is a free agent going into the season and until he signs somewhere, there's always a chance.
So you're keeping the dream alive is what you're saying.
Mostly because, you know, like we all looked at Jerome Ford taking a massive pay cut and thought, well, he'll be here. But if some team got really desperate for a running back and came along and offered something, a fourth rounder for Jerome Ford.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Browns should do that and then bring Nick Chubb back in a one-year deal, yeah?
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. It feels like every team that is doing like making trades or having some sort of involvement, like the Cowboys yesterday, right? Jane Slater had to come out and be like, Nick Chubb was not a part of their plans. But every single one of them, it feels like, is involved in Nick Chubb in some way or at least having the conversation around Nick Chubb.
There is a part, though, where just in terms of the way they're built, and I always struggle with this. If you're only going to carry three running backs, what ratio do you want here? Do you want two guys that can be the bell cow and one speed back? Because speed backs are really hard to find in the middle of the season, like home run hitters.
Yeah.
Like the Deion Lewis's type, even though Deion never really worked out
or
here
the
in Cleveland.
Jerome Ford type.
Or do you want to go ahead and go one guy who can maybe do 15 to 20 carries a game and then two speed backs, but knowing that the drop from Quinshon Judkins, if he got hurt in the middle of this year, to is Jordan Howard still alive? Like a Jordan, like a street free agent, or even Dearness Johnson. That's a pretty significant drop off.
Yeah, I look at it more like I would pay Nick Chubb to be basically a coach here, but he doesn't want that for himself.
Yeah,
you know, so we can't even think about it from what do you want from a offensive standpoint, and does he fit into that? It's Nick Chubb. Like, he'll fit into anything. It's just I really don't think he wants that. I think he believes that he can still do this.
Yeah, and by the way, I actually agree with him. So like, if that's what Nick Chubb wants, that's what I want Nick Chubb to get. But there's another part of this where it's like, I also understand the Browns very clearly didn't bring Joe Flacco back a year ago because they didn't want to put extra pressure on Deshaun Watson. I couldn't think of a greater pressure to put on Quinshon Judkins in his rookie year than having Batman, take some carries from him or sit behind him on the depth chart.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point. And Samson, we got to treat the same way too, right? I know he's a fourth rounder, so we don't treat him the same way as Judkins. But between the two of them, like they got to be looking at this season as if they're just battling out to try to be the premier back on the team while understanding that it's going to be running back by committee anyway. But like that's like the door's open for them, and it just isn't there for Nick Chubb.
I do think it opens up this conversation. And we've had some like adjacent conversations to this, but never like the head-on conversation.
Yeah.
I think this is shaping up to be the kind of year where it could get really awkward for the Cleveland Browns if you're on a 3-14 trajectory or first pick trajectory, Nick Chubb goes elsewhere, especially if it's on a really good team and we get some shade of Nick Chubb elsewhere.
So I don't think people are going to look at this like it's a Baker Mayfield situation. We're like constantly monitoring it, and then you're seeing how good he is or how good he isn't. Because Nick Chubb, let's say he goes to another team. Let's just call it an NFC North team, whatever. Let's say he goes to the Bears and gets 1,000 yards. Are we thinking Nick Chubb's going to have 1,000 yards 3, 4, 5 years from now?
No, but I think you're thinking kind of long-term about this. I think it'd be really painful for Browns fans to be sitting in the middle of a lost season and watch Nick Chubb still producing. Like, I think right now there's not a lot of pushback on it because we saw what Nick looked like the six games last year.
Right.
And so I do think that changes. Like, I think it's so easy to sit here and say, it's going to be a 3-14 season, and hopefully we see the young guys play and we see an identity. Maybe they surprise us with six wins. It's one thing to say that with a clear head and a clear heart in May. It's an oh, and by the way, Nick Chubb's going to go somewhere else and have a good part of the season. Like, the Ravens were winning. I do remember this distinctly. The Ravens were winning when they had moved on from Jamal Lewis, and the fans were beside themselves when Jamal came here and had a resurgence over the last two of the last 3 years of his career.
It's an important distinction, though. Like, I feel like if the Ravens were winning, right? Like, if the Browns were a 9-10 win team and Nick Chubb would have been the difference between them making the postseason or not, or even being a postseason threat or not being, because you gave up on Nick Chubb and then he's awesome elsewhere, then I think people would be outraged.
Oh, but I think
people would be livid.
I think if you go, and again, the devil's in the details here, so we can get down, I can get down the rabbit hole pretty quickly here, but yep. Like, if you're a 6-11 team and the running backs, it's just a running back by committee and they're all just okay, like not great, not like what was CBS Sports saying that Quinshon's gonna,
Judkins would be the best rookie rusher this year.
So like if you've got like two 600 yard rushers and another 400 yard rusher and Nick Chubb's putting 1200 yards up somewhere, I think you are going to see Browns fans ask themselves, but could he have been the difference between
eight and nine and nine and eight, or ten and seven? And we'll do the segments in many ways. I'm trying to figure out which path is the makes them the most angriest, though. Makes the Browns fan the most angriest.
I do think it's if Nick goes elsewhere and is on a contender, killing it, and the Browns are bad. If the Browns are going to be bad no matter what, you'd rather Nick Chubb be here and you get to watch him be like the bright spot on a Dookie team.
Well, and so the other side of that, too, is there's nothing worse than giving up on someone when you feel like even if he was bad, he could just be a good piece to be around the team. Like, if he stinks, it really wouldn't have mattered because he's just so good with what he'd be able to teach these guys.
So it's weird because, like, I'm not sitting here pounding the gavel saying, you got to bring Nick Chubb back.
It feels like that ship has sailed, does it not?
It does. And even, honestly,
Browns want to move on. They drafted two running backs for a reason. We got to, at some point, I'm not saying now because that'd be way too early, but at some point we do have to turn the page.
And honestly, I think this organization, it does feel, maybe this is a positional thing, it always felt like they were going to be itching to move on from Nick Chubb before the end of his career, whether he got hurt or not.
Yeah, right? That's fair.
Like this, like, and maybe I'm projecting a little bit on the analytical organization.
No, but what's fun about that though is because we had the convo at last hour talking about like, well, how do they view the running back position? And I thought in my head they were moving away from trying to be one of these dominant running teams that they tried to be with Nick Chubb. Two teams in the NFL tried to do it: Titans and the Browns. Titans had more success than the Browns, but that was still just one AFC title game for Tennessee. I thought they were moving away from that, but then we talked about it at 3 o'clock, and it's like there's an avenue where they swerve into the running back tandem even harder now.
I think it's the only way. I think if they want to have any prayer at putting a team out there that surprises people, and by the way, it still might not make the difference.
The last 2 years and how the NFL changed, or was that the last 2 years where they, for the first time in Stefanski's time here, did not have a running game, and he realized just how bad that was for him to not have a run game?
I don't think the 2 years are the same. I think 2 years ago it was losing Nick Chubb to injury, and then they just is never pivoted. They never really, and then I think they got caught in between the offensive identities they were trying to run with the passing game. Last year, I think it was flat out that scheme didn't work, and your head offensive line coach could not coach his way out of a paper bag with the scheme that they were trying to run.
I mean, Stefanski in Minnesota when he was the OC had Dalvin Cook. Like, he's always had a premier running game. And when he first came over here, all anyone talked about was like, yeah, that run game, that's going to come with him. That's what he does. And then he got here and he had Nick Chubb. And, like, he thrived. But then, you know, last 2 years without a run game. Now, again, without a quarterback, it's also gone downhill too. But there's been no run game. And I wonder if Stefanski, he cares about that.
I think the blending of both worlds, Stefanski loving to run the ball, I think it's a lot more about what guys do up front. I think it's about movement. I think it's about how you use the wide zone than it is about a specific back. Everyone would always love to have a McCaffrey or a Dalvin Cook or a Nick Chubb, but I think they'd be perfectly content with the O-line deciding the quality of the run game, just given how the wide zone operates anyways. And then I think the front office will always want, I'd rather three good running backs instead of one great one. Like, if you had your draft, if you luck into a great running back, you're not going to kick it out of bed for eating crackers, right?
But like, sure.
At the same point, I think it's easier to sustainably build an organization or build a football team with three controllable, affordable, good running backs than it is one elite running back.
Well, that's the approach they're going to have this upcoming year.
Yeah. Well, and then,
at least
listen,
ideally.
If Quinshon just pops off and is a 1,500-yard back and he's the heir apparent to Nick Chubb, well, great. Then you have one. But I don't think you go looking for those. Like, I don't, when you take Quinshon at 30, what is it, 36, you're not thinking like all-time great running back. You're just like,
no, that's Ashton Gentile.
Be a really good running back, and we'll see where you go from there.
Yeah, that's being a Gentite at number 6 overall.
216-474-0092. If Nick Chubb balls out elsewhere, will you be mad at the Browns? I don't think in every scenario. I think Quinshon can go a long way in people's minds in this. If Quinshon has like a 1,300-1,400-yard season or a 1,200-yard season with a fair amount of touchdowns, I do think that will mute some of the response. But if these running backs are just okay and Nick's incendiary somewhere else, I think it gets really hairy for them.
Not to go back to Baker, but why did we hang on to all the Baker Mayfield conversations?
It's because Deshaun Watson booty stank?
It's because Deshaun Watson sunk. Exactly right.
We got Jason Lloyd coming up. We're going to get his thoughts on the Cavs down 0-2. Maybe a Chubb date from him or two. We'll talk about his thoughts on all the Shadrama with Shador's camp that we've seen over the last week or so. That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.